that he's really, really done. I just think his motivation for it is done. I think he's just, his mind is just on other things and not, you know, being the top swimmer anymore. I think he's gone beyond, you know, I think he's just gone beyond any other Olympian, and he's just, the drive is just gone, which I think is sad, but it's understandable. Because, I mean, once you reach a certain level, it's sort of, especially when it gets to a point where your only competition is you, it's sort of not quite as interesting. But I'm not excited. I'd hope nobody beats his record, though. Right now, he's the most decorated Olympian of all time. So I hope that stays for a while. So
I think it will.
Yeah.
You know, 22 medals, 18 golds.
Good Lord. Could you imagine?
That's tough. Maybe if some, I don't know. I mean, swimming, you know, that's a good sport to rack up a lot of medals in.
Yeah.
Because you could do, you know, all different styles, breaststroke, butterfly.
Yeah.
All these team event, individual event.
Yeah, definitely.
So maybe some, I mean, even Usain Bolt doesn't have that many medals. Even though in track, you could do a lot of different events.
It's true.
So I don't know. Maybe some fighter.
Right,
that could, like, box and wrestle and do all this stuff could rack up a bunch of medals. I don't know
That's
who else
true.
Would do that.
Speaking of Usain Bolt, here's something really interesting. Michael Johnson, who at one point was called the greatest, the fastest man alive, was saying that he's not a fan of Usain Bolt. He was saying that he doesn't think that he's that great of a runner. He thinks his technique is terrible. And he's just really not a fan. And what's disappointing about that is that Usain Bolt was saying that Michael Johnson was his favorite runner of all time and that he had so much respect for him. But obviously, Michael Johnson does not reciprocate that. How do you feel about that? Do you think that was disrespectful? Or
I think what he's trying to say is Usain Bolt is a good runner, but he could be better. Like, he doesn't maximize his potential, right? Like, his technique is flawed, and, you know, he doesn't run like most elite runners.
Oh, okay.
I guess, you know, in technical terms.
Okay.
Maybe his, you know, I don't really know that much about running.
Yeah,
but
neither do I.
Yeah, his gait or whatever, you know, what have you, like his start, how he gets off the blocks, things like that. Sometimes he's slowed down before the finish line.
Right.
You know, maybe he thinks he's a little bit too cocky.
Okay.
And he could be even better, but he's kind of wasting
himself,
his talent a little bit, because he could be even better than he is.
Right.
So,
okay.
And maybe he's a little jealous too. You know, like, he has that much talent, yet he's not using all of it, right?
Yeah, that could be. Yeah. I don't know enough about running. So when Michael Johnson says that Usain Bolt doesn't have the best technique in terms of running, I don't really know what he means, because I mean, to me, running just looks like running. I wouldn't know how to look at that and be able to size it up and say this guy's got great technique and this guy doesn't. I don't know. But I don't, do you know anything about running technique?
Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth.
Oh, okay. Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that does make sense, what Johnson said.
Okay. So it wasn't unfair then.
Yeah, because if you see 8 runners running at once, right? Right. Like in a 100-meter event.
Right.
Or whatever. You see most of the runners have just their head down. They're, like, really focused on, you know, putting everything they have into it. And
right.
Bolt kind of is looking around, you
he
know,
wants to, see the
to either side. Yeah, see if anybody's getting close to him. Kind of puts his hands up,
oh,
you know, before he reaches the finish line. I don't know. Like, he doesn't push himself all the way.
Okay.
But he's still the fastest guy out there. So.
All right. Well, if he's winning,
I mean, obviously, he's a great runner.
Yeah.
You can't say he's not a great runner. He just doesn't use all the talent that he has all the time.
That's
my take on it, yeah.
All right, okay. So do you think he's going to go to 2016 Olympics?
Usain?
Yeah. Not Michael Johnson. I think he's too old.
How old is Usain Bolt? I think he's got to.
Okay.
He's got at least one more Olympics in him.
All right. I don't know how old Michael Johnson is or Usain Bolt, so. Now, was Blade Runner in the past Olympics? I think he was, but I wasn't really paying much attention to him.
Yeah, I mean,
before he was a murderer.
He cleaned up in the Paralympics, and he was also in the London Olympics, too.
Oh, okay.
And obviously, like, I think one time he did run with Usain Bolt.
Oh.
Usain Bolt was in the same event, and so obviously that's not going to be close.
Yeah.
But still, for a guy with no legs, he's pretty darn fast.
Yeah, well, I guess you're going to have to be fast in prison when people are chasing.
Have to use those legs as weapons.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
I wonder if they take them away from him. He just has to sit there.
That's going to be...
Because he could use them as a weapon.
Yeah. That is very true. I think that's going to be unfair. He's going to need to be able to get away from the other inmates. So, poor
guy.
Yeah,
we're still staying tuned on that whole Pistorius Blade Runner story.
Yeah.
Because he's waiting to be sentenced for that.
Oh,
right now he's
goody.
Just holed up in his uncle's house.
Aw. Dude. Well, best of luck to him in prison. I don't think there's any way out of this one for him, so...
Unless it's some kind of O.J. Simpson, you know, gets away.
Yeah, you never know. O.J. Simpson just keeps slipping through the bars. I don't know how he does that, but he he always manages to
maybe
get his...
The Pistorius family should hire Johnny Cochran.
For sure.
Yeah, Usain Bolt, he's 26, so...
Oh, he's younger than what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, in 3 years, he'll be 29.
Okay, I don't know why I kind of had it in my mind that maybe he was like 32 or something like that. I don't know. He's a lot younger than what I thought.
Yeah, he could do two more Olympics,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, he could.
Even if he loses a step, he could still be pretty fast. But Johan Blake, fellow countryman.
Nice.
Yeah, he's also a great Jamaican sprinter. He's 23, so let's say, you know, in 7 years from now, 2020.
Oh, okay. He still has another Olympics,
you know,
left in him.
He'll have 3 years... less than Usain Bolt. He'll be 3 years younger. He'll be 30. Bolt will be 33. So Blake might have a little edge there.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
And he's a lot shorter. He's 5'11", and Usain Bolt is 6'5". But Johan Blake, he beat Bolt at one event. I forget what it was, but he sometimes beats him. He's really fast too. If it weren't for Bolt, you know, Blake would be the big superstar out there.
Right. Yeah.
He's probably the next fastest sprinter right now.
Being shorter in running or taller is an advantage, like which one? Because being taller you have longer legs, but then being shorter,
yeah, you take more steps, you run faster,
right?
You know?
Yeah, so I could see how either size would be an advantage out there. So
no, yeah, that's when I think short guys are typically faster.
Oh, okay.
But you know, if you get a 6'5" guy like Bolt,
yeah,
and he's still really fast, it's like, wow, because then he could use his stride.
Yeah,
as
definitely.
Advantage.
I remember backpacking when I was younger, and I'm actually a pretty good backpacker, but the people with the longer legs could take like the larger steps, and they just step over large boulders, and I'd be trying to crawl on them. So, but definitely. So what's an Olympic sport that you think is really underrated, but you still enjoy it? Because I have the weirdest one. I have a two, actually, that I think are pretty weird, but I actually really enjoy them.
A really weird sport that I enjoy?
Yeah. Like, I mean, one that's in the Olympics that you think is just really underrated. Like, nobody
Olympic
talks
sport.
About it. But
well, I don't really follow this one. I just think it's interesting, though.
Okay.
Or, yeah, I don't really watch it. I think it's kind of funny. I think they just call it shooting. Or there's probably different events in shooting,
okay.
But in general it's just called shooting.
Oh, okay, very
and
nice.
I think some guns are laser guns, some guns are actual guns with bullets.
Oh, fun.
And it's basically precision, like if you're firing a bow and arrow, right, you try to hit a bullseye.
Oh,
but
okay,
with a gun. And I think there is a bow and arrow, there's archery.
Oh yeah, there is.
That's
there's
so old school
that
nowadays
is Robin Hood,
you know. Ted Nugent still does that. He hunts.
Does he really?
Yeah. Oh, in his basement, he's got a little firing range.
Oh, okay. I'm not surprised. That's so Ted Nugent.
Yeah. He catches his own meat.
There you go.
Hey, if there was a 2012 scenario, you know, apocalyptic end of the world.
Right.
Thing, he could survive on his own.
He could.
Out in the forest.
I don't think I could ever hunt. Hunting isn't in me, but I will say I could shark hunt. Like, that's pretty brutal, but I've always wanted I don't think I could kill any other animal. I could definitely do some fishing, but I couldn't hunt like a deer, like a duck or anything.
You feel
I'm too sensitive.
Killing a shark is justified?
I guess, I mean, it would kill me, right? So.
Well, if it was in self-defense, if you were in the water, it was coming after you. But if you were safe in a boat and you're just killing them.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of unfair, but, you know, I've heard that shark is really tasty and it's, I guess you can make a lot of money from it, too, because I've heard in Japan it sells for like $100 a slice. And It's I don't know, there's just something's very, you know, hunting sharks, there's something very warrior-like about it, and just I don't know, I would totally be into that. I couldn't do that to a whale or a dolphin or anything, but a shark, I wouldn't have so much reservation about it. But I'm sure there are a lot of environmentalists that are listening to this right now, and they're very unhappy with me. But yeah, so it's that's interesting how this is a sports show and we're talking about shark hunting. It's
I think why you feel that it's warrior-like hunting sharks is because, as far as water animals, sea animals, sharks are at the top of the food chain.
Ah, that's true.
And yeah, humans are at the very top of the food chain, but sharks are like right under them.
Right.
So
that is very
true. It's closer to a fair fight than just you versus a squirrel or something.
I know,
like that.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Or a trout.
That's true. Oh my gosh, that's true. And I am DJ Aquarius, so you know, Aquarius, water, shark, it all goes hand in hand.
Think about that.
So yeah. So yeah, very true, very true. So where were we before we started talking about sharks and squirrels?
We were talking about Olympics.
Ted Nugent.
Yeah, Ted Nugent. Yeah. It was Olympics shooting.
That's
bow and arrow archery.
That's right.
Ted Nugent, sharks.
Okay, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. I can't believe you remembered all that. Okay, awesome.
That's
yeah,
our train of thought. That's how it works here on all sorts of sports.
No, the shooting is very awesome. I remember, I believe it was a lady that this past Olympics that won like a ton of medals for shooting, for target practice, something like that, was shooting. And apparently she's a very good shooter. So she's probably not the best lady to mess with as far as getting in a fight with, but she but it's cool that she won so many medals. The weird sport that I like in Olympics, and it's the weird one I love, I think it's called track cycling. And it's on like a wooden floor, and these bikers are like on these weird looking bicycles, and they're going around this like wooden floor, and it's, I think it's called track cycling.
Yeah, doesn't it look like they have unusually big tires?
They
on those
do
bikes?
Yeah. It's a really weird one, but I like that one.
Yeah, so. And the whole floor is angled up like a NASCAR track.
Yeah,
because
definitely.
They're going so
yeah.
fast in such a tight circle.
It almost looks like they're in a
like
a
going
funnel
sideways.
Almost.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're going
or
down.
Like
yeah.
bobsledding, you know.
I know, right?
Tubes.
It's funny you should mention bobsledding. I was just thinking
that's
of
winter,
winter sport. Yeah, yeah. I was just gonna ask you, would you like the Winter Olympics? Like, do you prefer summer or Winter Olympics?
I like summer better because there is basketball, which
okay.
is my favorite thing in the Olympics right now.
Okay.
And soon there will be football, which I guess could go in either Olympics, winter or summer.
Right, yeah.
I'm guessing it will go in summer.
I think
so.
So
then
too.
The summer will be even better.
Yeah.
And when baseball is in the Winter Olympics.
Right.
Or I mean, in the Olympics, it was in the summer.
Right.
So I like summer better, but winter is cool to see Shaun White and company,
yeah.
you know, all
the flying
snowboarding,
tomato.
Skiing. Yeah.
Wait,
so
we have the flying
cool.
tomato
Lindsey
and
Vonn.
The flying Hawaiian. That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, I think snowboarding is better than just skateboarding.
Oh, yeah.
Something
yeah,
in the Summer
definitely.
Olympics. I mean, the X Games
right,
is
yeah.
for that. You know, and then there's the Winter X Games. So
that's true, yeah.
They have their own summer-winter thing.
That's
and that's every year.
Yeah. Very nice. I think I like the Summer Olympics better. There are definitely things that I do like about the Winter Olympics. Bobsledding is one. I love bobsledding. Ever since I saw the movie Cool Runnings with John Candy, who's one of my favorite comedians that passed away a long time ago. God rest his soul. And and I believe there's Dougie Doug was in it. And this actor that's not very well known, but his name is Leon. But it was just a great film. And it was about the first Jamaican bobsled team. And I thought it was just such a great movie. And John Candy plays their coach and all the things they go through to become Olympians. And it was funny because in the movie, they started off as track runners and they were competing so that they could make it to qualify for the Olympics. And then they were tripped. This guy tripped them accidentally and they all fell. And so they were looking to get into the next, to get into the Olympics. And so they ended up having to go with the Winter Olympics and they got into bobsledding. And it was a true story. And it was very interesting to see Jamaicans bobsledding. It's not something you're used to seeing.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Imagine Johan Blake, Usain Bolt.
I know,
bobsled.
Right? But the interesting thing is if they learn how to jump into the sled and steer, they'd actually be really good at it because they're already really fun, like really fast runners. And part of being a bobsledder is pushing the sled as fast as you can. And that was one of the points in the movie, was three of the guys were already Olympic runners, and that's so they were very, very fast. And so it was just a matter of them learning how to jump into the sled and steer on ice. And these guys had never seen ice before, so other than on a snow cone. So yeah, so he could actually, I think if he learned to steer on ice, he could actually make a pretty good bobsledder. But it's a dangerous sport though. So.
Yeah, because they go, they show it in kilometers per hour, their speed.
Yeah.
But it's what, maybe almost 200 kilometers per hour sometimes.
Oh.
So that's over 100 miles an hour.
Good Lord.
They get going fast. So if they're, what do they call those, cars or sleds?
Yeah. Wow.
Bobsled. Those,
bob
if
cars.
They fly out of the track.
Oh, gosh.
Or if they just spin around or something.
There is a guy in the Winter Olympics, I think, from the last Winter Olympics, I think. And he was doing, I forget what they call it when it's individual bobsledding, when it's just like one person in a sled and you don't have like a whole team. I've got to look that up, but I can't remember what it is. But anyway, he was practicing and he was going around a turn, and he just called his father like a few hours before, telling his dad that there's this one turn that made him really nervous. And but he just kept doing it anyway because he really wanted to compete in the Olympics. And several hours later, he had an accident on that turn. And unfortunately, he passed and didn't make it. Was not able to compete in the Olympics. Well, obviously, because he was moved on. But it was. But yeah, so it's a very, very dangerous sport. It's awesome if you can do it and live through it. But it's definitely one that you have to be willing to accept the fact that you could be giving up your life for it. So, but yeah.
So Cool Runnings. Here's a little clip from that movie.
Yeah.
Play the audio from it.
Some people say you know them can't believe. Jamaica, we have a bobsled team. We have
yes.
Wanderers.
I know one junior.
You, Sanka.
The fastest of the fastest of Jamaican sprinters. Go to Olympics, fight for Jamaica.
Jamaica, we have a bobsled team. No people say that you can't believe. Jamaica, we have a bobsled team. We have the Wanderers and the One Junior. You brother and the man Tanka. The fastest of the fastest of Jamaica sprinters. Respect to the man Herb Blitzer.
All right, gentlemen.
Respect. We now come to the second chance for the four intrepid men from Jamaica. What do they have to do, John?
In reality, Al, I don't think the Jamaicans have any chance of winning a medal.
Dear God, just let it be better than yesterday.
Ready!
Ready!
Feel the rhythm! Feel the rhyme! Get on up! It's bobsled time! Cool running!
Yeah, that was a little clip from Cool Runnings.
Oh my gosh, it's just one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, they're singing as they walk in.
Yeah.
And everybody's just looking at them funny.
Oh, it's a great film. For anybody that hasn't seen it, please watch it. It's called Cool Runnings. It's starring John Candy. So you should see it.
All right, we're going to take our first commercial break here. An hour into the show. But
already?
Really only about 40 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Because we got here late. It's about 4 o'clock. We're going to take our first break. Keep it right here. All sorts of sports. Radio.Dominican.edu.
You know what I'm saying? Yo, Black, I'm not playing. Need to go with this and go with this.
with no delay and see. In actuality, wonder can it be? I made it look easy because it is to me. Anytime capacity was filled, tried to rock it. Anytime a honey gave us play, tried to knock it. Never was a fool, so we finished school. Never see us sweat and you'll never see us cool. Out to rock the globe while I still hit a rock. Don't punch girls and we don't punch a clock. Gotta go see you later by the cat. And you can't beat that with a bat.
You can do with this.
Hey, Red, I'm on you, baby.
Can't survive. Will you die for me?
Yes, I do want rock and roll. That is Def Leppard, Rock of Ages, here on All Sorts of Sports. This is a sports show, but we like our music.
Yes, we do.
Ooh, it's a little bit hot. Def Leppard! Yeah, it's a little bit loud. We want to keep the music up in the background so we can hear it.
Of course. We always want to hear Def Leppard. One of the greatest bands in rock and roll history,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
I think they're pretty underrated.
I think so, too. They definitely are. I don't know why. I think it's because they're what's considered a guitar god band, because they have a lot of like awesome guitarists or something like that. I'm not sure what it is, but they're really under-respected. Like, they're sort of put in the same category as some of the bands that probably don't, that I mean, I think are still fun to listen to, but they don't deserve as much respect, kind of like Rat. And some of the, like, Whitesnake, even though I like Whitesnake a lot, but I think they're kind of put in those bands that don't get as much respect. But they're actually a really good band. Like, I don't think they're a cheap band at all. They're a very respectable band. I think they're true musicians. Joe Elliott is one of the best rock and roll singers, I think, of all time. And it bothers me when I hear people badmouth them.
And you got to give props to Def Leppard's drummer, Rick Allen.
Yes.
I think he's pretty inspirational. Yeah.
Yeah.
One-armed drummer.
Yeah.
And drums, you know, you use both your legs, both your arms.
He does.
Your hands and feet, all your limbs. So
he has his
to
drum
lose
kit.
An arm, yeah.
Yeah.
He's got his drum kit modified.
Right.
Extra foot pedals supplement his one arm, because just imagine playing with one arm. I mean, I used to play drums, and I don't know how I could do it with one arm, even with extra foot pedals. Because
right.
You have to have one hand hitting the cymbals, right, or the hi-hat,
right,
and then the other hand hitting the snare drum,
right,
and you gotta use them both at the same time, so how could you use one, you know?
He's just a really talented guy, but I love his spirit, though. I mean, it's people like that always want to make me keep going in life, no matter what obstacle is given you. I mean, to be a drummer, lose your arm, and just still keep going, just hold your head up and keep going, I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, he didn't let that stop him at all.
Not at all.
Barely.
And he's still a great drummer.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, but he's definitely, that band is just unstoppable. What's your favorite Def Leppard song?
This one's pretty good.
Definitely. I love Photograph, and I love Hysteria.
Photograph.
And of course, everybody loves some Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Oh yeah, I was thinking of that, yeah.
Yeah. There's, they have a guitarist that passed away, one of their guitarists, and he was well known for coming up with awesome just guitar riffs. Like, he wouldn't really rock whole. Oh, here it is. Woo!
What were you saying?
He was well known for just writing great guitar solos. Like, he never did write like a whole song, but at the beginning of a lot of their songs, you'll hear just awesome guitar parts, and that was just all him. He was just that creative, and he would just come up with the most random off the wall ways of playing guitar solos, and a lot of it was just improvised, but he was that brilliant. So I don't know his name. I forget what his name was, but he was amazing. Love this song.
Yeah.
Woo! You know, I think it's safe to say, I probably shouldn't admit this because I know there's nuns listening, but there's something about Def Leppard that brings out a little bit of stripper in every girl. There's something about it that just makes, I don't know, just as a girl, it makes you want to go wild. I'm not sure what it is.
That's the true rock star way.
It is. It's just, it's stripper music. It's great music, but it's stripper music. So nuns, please don't listen to me. Go back to praying or whatever it is that you do.
Now he's got that, like, slow, smooth tempo, you
right?
know, it's not too fast.
Even when it's really, really rocking, but there's still something very smooth and steady about it.
I think that's one of the reasons why Rick Allen was able to keep up with just one arm, too.
Right,
because
yeah.
if he was doing, you know, heavy metal,
right.
speed metal, thrash metal music,
it'd be a problem, yeah.
No way he could do it with
definitely.
One arm.
Definitely. Some interesting news about Joe Elliott. He actually auditioned as... To be one of their guitarists, either rhythm guitar or lead guitarist, and they thought that he was a terrible guitarist, but they liked his singing so much they gave him the part of lead singer, even though that's not a bad way to go, though. You go in for some, you know, he went in to try and be the guitarist, but they thought he was the worst guitar player they'd ever heard when they let him be the lead singer. They liked his singing, so I think he still did well there. Just enjoying the song here, folks.
Yeah, we actually had the Heat Pacers game on here during the break. Right now it's 56-46 Heat at the half. Two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference in the NBA. And somehow during the halftime show, they're showing tennis highlights
of
the basketball game. So I just noticed tennis came on the screen here.
I like tennis, but the thing with tennis is if I play it too often, I get really bored with it. It's a fun sport, and I get really into it, but I was taking tennis lessons for a while, and when I was playing it every single day, I just got way too bored with it. But if I play it once or twice a month, it's really fun.
How about table tennis?
Oh, that's awesome.
It's actually one of my favorite Olympic sports. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Oh, it's a great sport. It really is. And it gets really heated. It's funny because you just think, oh, you know, little ping pong ball. But it's really... Was that Roger Federer?
Oh, somebody just laid out for a ball right there.
Oh, jeez. Get that guy a Band-Aid.
No, it was whoever Federer is playing. Djokovic.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, but table tennis, ping pong.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a more casual way to say it. In the Olympics, most of the Asian countries dominate that.
Yeah.
But you get some Germans in there sometimes that do pretty well.
Definitely.
Yeah, usually America doesn't go very far.
Right. That's sad.
But
come on, America. Step it up.
Yeah, usually they're... USA.
Yeah.
Usually their volleys aren't very long in table tennis in the Olympics. Each point, you know, it's like... Hit, and then it goes off the table or
right.
Someone misses it.
Yeah.
But when they do get a volley going, it gets really intense because, I mean, they're really breaking a sweat out there. These players, they have headbands, they have towels to keep wiping off. I mean, these are athletes. It really is a sport.
Yeah.
It's not just curling or darts
right,
or bowling
yeah.
or something like that.
It's pretty
serious.
You
have to be in shape. You never see a, you know, overweight ping pong player
right, yeah.
out there. I mean, they're moving around
it's cardio.
Side to side. It's like tennis. They, like, move around side
yeah,
to side just
definitely.
On a smaller scale.
Definitely.
And sometimes they even dive for
yeah.
something. You see them lay out.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah, they put topspin on every serve, every hit, really.
Jeez.
And they just slam it down. I mean, you know, every time they hit the ball, it's with force.
It is.
So.
And I almost think it's harder than real tennis in a way because the ball is so light, so you really have to have power and control at the same time, even more so than with real tennis.
Yeah, I think it takes a huge amount of hand-eye coordination. I mean, ping
Definitely.
Pong players have some of the best hand-eye coordination of, you know, any type of people in the world.
Definitely.
To hit a little ball like that, it's coming so fast at you.
Yeah.
And be able to react. They have to have really good reaction time.
For sure, yeah.
Be able to move their paddle to get the ball. So, you know, tennis, you can see the ball coming from farther away.
Right.
You have more time to react.
Definitely.
You have to run farther. So it's tennis on a smaller, faster
scale.
And more intense in a lot of ways.
For sure. A sport that I find really interesting that's kind of in the category of tennis and table tennis, ping pong, is badminton. I love badminton. I think it's so much fun. It's people also think that's a sport that doesn't get very aggressive, but I played badminton quite a bit in my time, and it can get very aggressive and very heated, and it's one that people don't think of as being kind of a rough and tumble sport, but it does get really, really aggressive, and it's you definitely have to stay awake and pay attention in badminton and be able to strategize a lot. It's a great sport. I love badminton. I would play badminton over tennis any day. I really enjoy it. And I was amazed at how competitive I got about it too when I was playing it all the time at school, but you really can get into it.
Did you play indoors or outdoors?
Indoors all the time, but I would love to play outdoors.
Okay, because I was gonna say outdoors, if the wind kicks
oh,
up, you know,
no.
it could get hairy.
Yeah,
it's serve it can go behind you over your head.
Yeah, that's true.
You can hit
sure.
it backwards.
Yeah,
serving into the wind.
People always think of volleyball as a beach sport, but I would love to play badminton on the beach one day. They always think of volleyball as a beach sport, but I think badminton on the beach on a not so windy day would be really fun.
Yeah. It's kind of like tennis when you're not playing on a surface where you could bounce a ball
right
like
yeah.
on the beach on sand.
Definitely,
you just hit it in the air.
Definitely.
Shuttlecock.
The shuttlecock box.
It's either a birdie or a
shuttlecock.
Shuttlecock, is
yeah.
the correct term.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember learning the term shuttlecock, and I was younger when I learned it, and I just thought it was hilarious.
Actually, my dog, I have a yellow lab, she loves to play badminton.
Does she really?
She loves to go after the shuttlecock. She'll fetch it.
Oh.
Get the racket.
I wish my dog would do that. My dog would take the shuttlecock, but then she'd run with it and hide
my
it.
Dog does that too.
She wouldn't actually give it back, so she thinks it's funny to make you chase her. But yeah, no. Badminton on the sport on the beach sounds like a lot of fun. Now, I will say that when I was playing badminton, I had bruises all the time because I was one of those people that would die for the birdie, and I would always land on my knee. So I had these horrible like blue bruises all up and down my leg, and I had some of the sorest legs for for all the longest time for that reason. So I was really really intense and aggressive about it. It's loads of fun.
Trying to check up on the USA Canada score.
Come on, USA.
It looks like it went final. USA pulled it out 9-4 over Canada, so they will advance to the second round of the WBC. That will be played in Miami. So at the other spring training location, there's two spring training locations in the MLB. Half the teams play their spring training ball in Arizona,
right,
and half in Florida.
Okay.
So it makes it convenient for USA. I mean, half the players on their team.
Right.
Well, you know, they'll be in Miami.
Oh, very nice.
Their team's spring training camps will be, you know, right around there in Florida.
Oh, that's nice.
So they can work out with their teams.
And be in Miami.
Yeah, their MLB team and their USA team. So.
Oh, it's very cool. Well, I'm very proud to be an American at this moment. I'm glad America pulled through. It's awesome.
Yeah, they had a lot of MLB players on their roster this World Baseball Classic in 2009, even 2006. Those are the last two times WBC has happened. It's supposed to happen every 4 years. I don't know why it went 2009 or 2006 and then 3 years later, 2009.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of weird. But, you know, in the past, they've had a lot of minor league players play for Team USA because the pros didn't want to get hurt.
Right,
you know, they just didn't want to play in there. Wanted to be with their own MLB team.
Right.
So now they have a pretty darn good roster stacked up with some good MLB talent. So, yeah, I mean, I expected a lot out of them this year. It's good they moved on, along with Team Italy, also from Pool D. And so Canada and Mexico, they're eliminated.
Oh, no. Okay,
so
well,
see how
well.
Italy does. They only have a few MLB players on their team, and they're not superstars at all. They're not big names.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Yeah. This kind of makes me think of Rocky, the Italian Stallion, versus what's that guy named? Yeah, Apollo Creed. Yeah,
Apollo
back
Creed.
In the first one. Yeah, so the
Carl
underdog
Weathers.
Versus, yeah, the underdog versus the well-known athlete. So this will be interesting. I like Italy. I want America to win, though. But yeah, I'm glad that we're on top. So this should be interesting. So here's something. I can't remember if this was last baseball season or the baseball season before, but I don't know if this has ever happened with the Giants, but I'm a huge A's fan, and the A's played their very first game of this season in Japan. I was so angry about that. I feel like, you know, baseball is American, the A's are American team, they should have played their first game here in the U.S. How do you feel about it? Has that ever happened to the Giants, and how do you feel about it?
No, that was a new thing in Major League Baseball to have the first regular season game overseas.
That was not okay.
They were just trying to, maybe they knew that World Baseball Classic was coming the next year, and
right.
They're trying to showcase the MLB on a more international stage.
Right.
So, I mean, the A's actually did have Hideki Matsui on their team.
Yeah.
Last year, and he's a Japanese player.
Right.
So he got to play
in his home country.
His
home
country. So that was kind of cool. But other than that, I mean, there are not too many Japanese players.
Right.
In Major League Baseball right now.
There's Ichiro Suzuki. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been around a while.
Yeah.
He's probably the most well known.
Yeah.
Hideki Matsui in his days in Japan when he was just tearing it up when he was a younger player in his prime, he was like the Michael Jordan of baseball there. I don't really want to say the Barry Bonds because he's not really that popular.
Right.
You know, he's a great player. As in terms of his on-field performance and his home run hitting, Matsui was the Barry Bonds of Japan.
Right,
He hit something like 700 homers or something crazy.
Oh, my god!
Over in Japan, he was just a monster. Godzilla, his face would be on airplanes,
commercial
airplanes
cool.
there, you know, billboards all over.
He was huge
there, and you know, still is a hero. And Ichiro, he's not, you know, a home run hitter.
Right.
But he's also a really big, one of the biggest Japanese players.
Definitely. Ichiro is really known for base stealing, right?
Yeah, and he hits for a high average.
Okay.
He's just an all-around good player. The thing is, he could hit home runs if he wanted to.
Right.
That's how talented he is.
He
in
probably
batting practice sometimes,
to save his energy.
Yeah, in batting practice. Actually, now he's on the Yankees, but he was with Seattle forever.
Oh, yeah, he was. I remember
when they do just like the home run derby round
right.
in batting practice, most teams do that.
Right.
Like they're serious the first few rounds. They take batting practice, and then the last round they'll just try to hit home runs for
right,
fun.
Yeah.
So he would pepper the bleachers with balls when it came to the home run derby round. He would win that
wow.
sometimes. So he can hit home runs if he wants to, but
that's amazing.
That's just not his game.
I remember the first time a few years ago I first came to know Ichiro Suzuki because I believe it was he and Coco Crisp or got like in a fight or something like that. I can't remember what happened. And I think it was like, didn't like Ichiro get in like a fight with like the Mariner moose also?
Or something?
Isn't the Mariners mascot like a moose or something like that?
Oh yeah, it's something weird.
And they got in a fight with like the moose or something like that. And I remember hearing about somebody was trying to run the moose down with a lawnmower.
Like, yeah, you know how mascots are. They can get all cocky, they feel empowered
yeah.
since they're in a suit.
That's true.
Right? And no one really knows who they are, just the mascot.
That's true.
They kind of, you know, do a little provocative, you know, cocky gestures to
that's true.
Players.
Yeah. Well,
and
I guess if you can
like,
be
hey,
anonymous.
You're just a mascot. Don't, you know, show me up like that.
Yeah.
So sometimes they get mad at mascots.
Yeah, I heard about that. Oh my gosh. I felt so bad for the Mariner move. But maybe he started the fight. I don't know. You know, something I find really interesting about Japanese players as opposed to American players is that I find that Japanese players tend to take really, really good care of themselves. American players, not so much. Like, I've heard about how Ichiro Suzuki is always pumping green tea and how he really, really watches out for his health and how people expect him to play longer than many professional baseball players because he takes such good care of himself despite getting older. And that's not something that they can say for many professional baseball players. But I found that to be the case with many Japanese players. I don't know if you think the same, but that's what I've noticed. They seem to really like tend to their health and their physical condition. Well, as American players, not quite as much.
To be honest, I really haven't heard too much about that.
Oh, okay.
That's
yeah.
That's a very interesting point, though.
Yeah.
I can understand that. I could see that
yeah.
happening. Yeah, Japan, they're a little more health oriented.
Yeah,
I mean, you
definitely.
Don't see even close to the amount of obesity.
True.
That the U.S. has
yeah.
in Japan.
I've heard they're the healthiest country in the world. So
yeah.
With all the fish they eat, sushi.
They even try to, you know, take precautions not to get sick.
Yeah, they do.
You know, they
yeah.
wear doctors. Face masks
they
around.
Do yeah all the time yeah mm-hmm. very interesting
in public places and airports
yeah
like that. Actually you saw a bunch of those at I don't know what the stadium was called where the A's played in Japan last year.
Oh okay yeah I don't know the name
yeah,
of the stadium
yeah.
either
they
but
had, people were walking around all the fans had masks on.
It seems ridiculous, but when you think about it, that's actually probably a good idea because you're surrounded by like thousands of people and they're all breathing their little germs on you and you're kind of in an enclosed area.
I mean, of all the countries to where disease would spread fast, Japan is
right.
definitely up there on the high on the list because they're a very population dense country.
Yeah,
it's, you know that in area their country is not very big.
Not at all. It's roughly the size of California.
Yeah. So, but California has 40 million people. Japan has about 140.
Oh, good lord.
150 million. So.
Wow. Yeah.
yeah. About four times as dense as California.
That's true.
Population.
They really go out of their way to be clean about things. I know they don't shake hands. They bow, all that good stuff. So they're really into to staying flu-free. So, yeah, well done. But I know they were saying that Ichiro is really known for just pumping all sorts of herbal teas and really just staying on top of his health. And I found that to be with many Japanese players, so I think American players should learn from that, for sure.
All right, we're going to take another break right here. This will be our last break
okay.
Here on All Sorts of Sports Day. Keep it right here, though, because on the other side, we will talk about the fight that happened between Canada and Mexico
Ooh.
In the WBC yesterday, and we'll get to some Warriors basketball.
Yay.
Keep it right here, radio.dominican.edu.
Like the subway in Harlem, call them Weezy F baby. Please say the baby. If you don't see me on the block, I ain't trying to hide. I blend in with the hood, I'm camouflage. Bandana tied, so mommy join my troop. Now every time she hear my name, she salute.
If your status ain't hood, I ain't checking for them. Better be street if you're looking at me. I need a soldier, and he's scared to stand up for me. Known to carry big things if you know what I mean.
On the phone tonight, homie in the dickies in my zone tonight. He don't know it might be on tonight. Oh, he looking good and he talking right. He the type that might change my life. Every time he look at me, my girls be like, that one may be the one tonight.
If his status ain't hood, I ain't checking for him. Better be street if he looking at me. I need a soldier and he's scared to stand up for me. Know to carry big things if you know what I mean. If his status ain't hood, ain't hood, I ain't checking for him. Better be street if you're looking at me. I need a soldier and he's scared to stand up for me. Gotta know to get dough and he better be street.
I know some soldiers in here.
right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. The Funk Soul Brother, right about now. About now. About now. About now.
You are listening to All Sword of Sports. This is DJ Aquarius, and I am here with your main host, DJ Showtime.
What's up?
This is radio.dominican.edu. I'm supposed to always say that.
Yeah, we got to tag the station. That's Penguin Radio, in case you didn't catch that. Radio.dominican.edu.
Yes. And we are streaming worldwide.
Online.
And we are here every Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. In the p.m.
Pacific time.
And a lot of times DJ Cope Dog is here also, just
yes.
Not today. He's in Jamaica. Where is he?
He is elsewhere.
Elsewhere in the world. So I'm happy to be here with you guys. So thanks, DJ Showtime, for having me on.
Yeah, it's great having you.
Thank you.
And you could check out DJ Aquarius's show, Just Saying, every Wednesday at 4 p.m.
From 4 to 5. Yeah, thank you.
Also on radio.dominican.edu.
Penguin Radio.
All right, so let's get back to... WBC. So we're going to talk about the fight that happened with Canada and Mexico. I'm actually going to play a little video of that. You can hear the audio of what happened, and I'll describe it to you. But first, here is a little soundbite.
Later on in that career, Rene Tassoni was actually drafted a couple of times by the Twins, and now there's a little chippiness going on.
That might have to do with Robinson's late slides.
Hey, wow! After the warning, Arnold Leon just drilled Rene Tassoni, and it's on! Benches have cleared! Oh, my.
That's
you want nothing
good.
To do with the hockey players.
That's not good.
There are people flying all around here right now. Coaches are trying to restore some order. Oh, I saw Alfredo Aceves go down. Oh, this is ugly. This is ugly. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That was more than just a little dust-up, folks.
Yeah, totally uncalled for. And
I mean, there were haymakers being thrown in that scrum. Oh, my. Oh, goodness. And now the Canadian fans or the Canadian players.
Yeah, there's some Mexican fans of Team Mexico beyond the Canada dugout that are beginning to throw things at the players.
Wow, so...
Oh my goodness.
That wasn't just your little chippy brush up baseball fight, couple pushes and shoves here and there. That was an all out benches
brawl.
Clearing. Everybody involved just brawl. I mean, there were haymakers being thrown. You heard Matt Vasgersian, the broadcaster, say.
Oh, my gosh.
People are just wailing.
And they all look like Christmas ornaments fighting each other because they had the green caps with the red jerseys. So it looked like Christmas the Christmas ornaments were at war.
Team Mexico, red and green uniforms, and then Canada with their red uniforms. Just a sea of red.
It was.
And probably some red was added to that.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah, that was crazy. I mean, it was a very physical, hard-fought game throughout.
Yeah.
That was in... one of the later innings. Earlier in that game, there's a couple hard slides by both teams at second base where, you know, the defensive team would be trying to turn a double play.
Wow.
It would be like a grounder to shortstop. He would throw it to the second baseman at second base, and the runner running from first to second would slide in late at second base trying to break up the throw, right?
Right.
But he'd slide in late with his cleats up, and he'd really take out the second baseman. So
it's terrible.
There are a couple slides like that. So after a while, and most of those were on Canada's part, those hard slides. But then also,
oh, really? Canada was playing dirty?
Well, then a player from Team Mexico really took out the Canadian catcher on a play at the plate. Just bulldozed him.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, tempers were slowly rising, building up. And
I
then
can imagine.
When Canada was up 9-3 in the top of the ninth, they were still playing for runs. They weren't just... It's kind of an unwritten rule in baseball. You know, once you're up by a big margin like that.
Right.
In the late innings, you kind of just take it easy.
Right.
You know, you don't still try to add on more runs.
Right, yeah.
Like, show the other team up. But in the WBC, if two teams are tied in the same pool, say if two teams are 2-1, right?
Right.
Well, then who goes on to the next round? Well... It goes to the tiebreaker, which is how many runs each team scored.
Right.
So Canada's just trying to get the most runs they can.
Right.
And it looked like Team Mexico didn't know that rule because they got really mad at Canada for still trying to score runs.
Oh,
because they're up by 6, ninth inning. The first batter for Team Canada bunts the ball to get a base hit, which
you don't do
when you're up that much, but they're just trying to get as many runs as they can in
Fair
the tournament.
Enough, yeah.
Yeah. But then Mexico gets real pissed off at that. And the third baseman, who the ball was bunted to, actually tells the pitcher while pointing at the next batter that was coming up for Canada. He says, "Hey, bean this guy. Hit this next batter."
Did he say it in Spanish like or English?
Well, I don't know. You could just see by his gestures and the look on his face. That's what he was saying.
Oh, God.
And then so the next batter that came up, that's what you were hearing. The first two attempts by the pitcher to hit the batter were unsuccessfully missed him. He threw inside.
Wow.
And then the third pitch, he hit him square in the back, which is like the place that most intentional bean balls
I've
get thrown.
I've seen that
right?
Before,
yeah.
Yeah,
just like up in between the shoulder blades, right in the numbers.
Right.
93-mile-per-hour fastball. So that was clearly intentional, and it was the third time he tried that. Actually, the pitch before, the umpire came out after seeing two attempts to hit the batter. He warned each of the benches, Canada's bench and Mexico's bench.
Right.
You know, hey, if somebody's going to... If anybody throws at a player again,
right,
you're going to be ejected. That's what umpires do. They give you a warning before they throw you out for that. And so the third pitch hits him right after the warning. You know, Mexican pitcher didn't care. He hit the Canadian. Then, you know, it was all chaos from there.
Wow.
So
oh, my gosh. Yeah, they were showing no mercy out there. It was pretty brutal. I got to say, it on a much smaller level, it reminds me of a fight that I saw back when Nick Swisher was playing for the A's, and I forget the team that they were playing, but this one pitcher from this other team was like really gunning for Nick Swisher for some reason, and Nick Swisher's just up there just trying to, you know, he's a great player and was just trying to hit like a home run or whatever it is that he was trying to do, and this pitcher just seemed determined to take Nick Swisher out, and he just kept finding ways to like hit him with the ball or like, you know, and I mean this just kept happening and happening throughout the game, and I think they knew it was on purpose, and there was one time where they hit Nick Swisher in the back with a ball kind of like you were saying, like right by the shoulder blades, and then I think the last time was they looked like they deliberately tried to hit him in the face, and I mean when you're playing a professional baseball team, I mean a lot of these people pitch like I forget how many miles an hour, you know, these pitchers are really strong, and to get hit in the face with a baseball that's coming at you that fast, it's like really, you just don't do that. And Nick Swisher took the bat and pointed at the guy like, you're dead, and just ran at the guy, and this huge fight like broke out. And I remember like Bob Guerin like jumping to his defense and like everybody, and it was and Nick Swisher got thrown out of the game for it, and which I think is just wrong because it was self-defense, and he got thrown out of the game, and the A's were losing at that time. And I think after that happened, I really think the team just stepped up on behalf of Nick Swisher, and they won the game, and it was really awesome. And it looked like for sure they were gonna lose. I mean, I forget how much they were down by, but it was a lot. But I think after that happened, they're just like, forget it, we're gonna make sure that this, you know, we take these guys down for him, because he just got thrown out for no reason, I thought. So it was a pretty awesome game, but that was kind of on a smaller scale. This wasn't like this where it just looked like everybody was just out for as much blood as they could get.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand why a batter is angry and even charges the mound. I'm not saying I condone that.
Right, but...
You know, or encourage charging the mound, especially with a bat in your hand. But,
yeah,
but you know, if you're getting thrown at with 95-mile-per-hour, 100-mile-per-hour pitch,
right,
that really hurts. And that's just, not only that, it's, you know, very disrespectful.
It is, yeah.
Hey, you don't want that, so...
You can cause some serious damage that, yeah. Another like really cool fight that I've seen, and I hate to mention soccer, but it was it wasn't even like a full-fledged fight, but it was during like the World Series some years ago, and it was the French this French team, and they were playing Italy in the World Cup, and this player named Zidane, I don't even remember his first name, but he was a French player, was named Zidane, and this Italian player, who's known as Bruno the Bulldog, made this comment about Zidane because Zidane is Muslim or something like that, or, you know, has Muslim parents or something like that, and just kept taunting Zidane, and Zidane turned around and headbutted Bruno in the chest and just flattened him right on the, and Bruno was a huge guy. I mean, he really does look like a bulldog, and Zidane is kind of like, he's very fit, but he's kind of tall and lean, and just turned around and just stuck his head right in Bruno's chest, and this guy just fell over just flat like a pizza on the field. And that, it wasn't like a full-fledged fight, but it was just, I've never seen anybody just drop somebody like that before. That was just really awesome. I've always wanted to try that. I mean, not really, but, you know, in my fantasy or something like that, I like to just try and headbutt somebody like that.
So the USA won today. The Giants, we were listening to their game earlier. They also won 6-1 over Milwaukee.
Ooh.
That's a final. So that'll put them in first place in the standings. Nah, this is just spring training, folks. But, yeah, it's fun to watch. The regular season is, you know, inching closer and closer every day. About 3 weeks till opening day. So, you know, I'm getting psyched to watch some baseball. And with the WBC, too. There's more baseball to watch, so I try to keep up with spring training a little bit.
For sure.
You know, you kind of can throw most of the stats out the window there. It's just fun to look at.
Yeah.
Let's transition, though, to basketball.
Okay.
Namely, Warriors basketball.
Woo!
Warriors.
Yeah, holla.
Aquarius and I actually were lucky enough to attend a Warriors game very recently on Wednesday.
Yay, fun game, people.
Versus the Kings. The local rival, Sacramento Kings, who in a few years will most likely end up in Seattle.
Wow.
So at least we got to see them, you know, while they're still in Sacramento. And they got some good players, but they were no match for the Golden State Warriors.
Right, of course not.
We got this. So that was a good win.
Blue dominated.
Warriors there. Yeah. Klay Thompson had a huge go-ahead shot in the final 8 seconds of that one.
He did.
So that was a great win. Front of the home crowd, but since then the Warriors have dropped their last two games at home. A couple of days ago. Is today the 10th?
Today is,
yes, today
got
is
my
the
trusty
10th.
Cell phone right here. Yeah, it's
today
the
10th. Today is the 10th.
March 10th.
On Friday, March 8th, Warriors lost to the Rockets 94-88, and that was a really disappointing game because Golden State is sixth in the Western Conference right now, in the NBA. The top eight teams advance. So they're sixth. They advance to the playoffs. Warriors are sixth. Rockets are seventh, right behind them.
Wow.
And they were only two games behind the Warriors, but then the Warriors lost to the Rockets. So then the Rockets are only one game behind them.
Oh, wow.
And Warriors lost yesterday, too, but luckily the Rockets also lost. So the Warriors maintain their one-game lead over Houston.
Gosh, but Warriors, I mean, you got to step it up.
Yeah, that's way too close for comfort. There's still about 18, 19 games left. So it's going to be tight.
It is. It is. I hope they step it up. I really do.
That's this is where the playoff races really heat up at the end of the NBA season. And it's going to be just a great time for sports, great time to have a sports show and be able to talk about it. Like
for
we
sure.
get to these next couple of months, you got the end of the NBA coming, March Madness starting up here, regular season winding to a close, and then you got baseball starting up, MLB regular
Yay.
Season. So then you always got NFL news because NFL is just all year round.
That's
you know,
true.
With the combine,
yeah.
everything, the draft, all that.
It's
so we're gonna
totally
have a lot to talk about coming up here.
For me, going to the basketball game was a real treat because I haven't been to a basketball game, I think, since I was about 10 years old. So it, I mean, not a pro basketball game anyway. I've been to a few college basketball games. So just to kind of be back in the atmosphere of a professional basketball game was just really, really fun. I forgot how much fun it was. I mean, they have like, what I really like was like the spirit team. I think that's what they're called. I don't know. Like the guys, there's about like four guys and they're totally, I mean, at the beginning of the game, they come out with their flags and they're all representing the Warriors. And then they come out riding like tricycles and they throw t-shirts. They have like t-shirt cannons and they blow t-shirts at you. I never got one, but you
yeah,
know.
Those are the crowd pleasers. Get the crowd into it, decked out, just
yeah.
blue and yellow Warriors gear. Got
they're like
hats,
cheerleaders, but more awesome.
Yeah, all this
yeah.
stuff.
For sure. So yeah, they were really cool. So I love this the spirit team or whatever they're called. I don't know if they have an official title. Do you?
I guess that might be it. That's close enough. Spirit team.
Spirit
but
team. That works.
You can tell they love their job and they have a lot of fun doing
I
what they
would
do. It's
too.
Not just fake. So they really get the crowd into it.
They do. I
make
mean,
the crowd have fun. And
if
I
that
also
was my job. I go crazy with it.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Wonder how much they get paid.
I would do it for free.
Yeah, I mean, free tickets. Are you, know,
yeah,
you get to go to the game.
Seriously.
You get to sit down. You get to be out there on the court.
Do they travel with the teams? You know.
No, they would just be doing home games.
Still, it's awesome.
Still, yeah, 41 games a year.
It's awesome, yeah.
Plus playoff games.
Wow.
Home games.
Oh my gosh.
What about the dunkers that come out?
That was
once
really
a game.
Cool.
And they actually were with the spirit team.
They were.
Because the spirit team, they're only four guys,
right.
like you said. So to spell out Warriors, letter by letter, which is eight letters, W-A-R-R.
Right.
I-O-R-S. The spirit team needs some help from the dunking team, I guess.
Right, yeah.
That comes out, jumps on springboards. Each one of them has a Warriors jersey on. They look like they're just little players because they're all pretty short.
Yeah.
Good athletes, though. They got good vertical leaps.
Yeah.
They put up some great dunks. They actually missed their finale, the last one.
They did, but it
so
was still really awesome
pass,
to watch.
Yeah, they still got
yeah.
huge cheers.
And
very
when
entertaining to watch.
And it's better when you're going to be jumping on a little trampoline like that. In gymnastics, they call it the double mini. when you're jumping on something like that, it's better to be short anyway. You don't want to be like a 7 foot tall mm-hmm. basketball player jumping up on a little springboard and then going way up in the air and trying to do flips and dunking at the same time. That would just be too dangerous for somebody super tall. So all of the dunkers were like pretty small, but they were just phenomenal and great acrobats on top of being great basketball players. So
yeah, they practice a lot.
Yeah.
They work out at the gym, work on their hops.
Yeah.
They got to get their timing down for those passes. They got to be right on target, you know,
of course,
precision. Because
yeah.
we saw what happens if they're not
definitely
right on target, you know, they'll miss the whole dunk. So
for sure. Are they always at the game, at the home games as well?
Yeah, they're at every game.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I wonder if they get paid. They should. I mean, just for all their acrobatics.
They have
that's
to, but you can tell they love their job.
Yeah,
they
for sure. Oh, my God. So anyway, I'm kind of disappointed because at the game, one of the food vendors told me that at the end of the game, I could possibly get a free churro. A churro. I don't know how you pronounce it. Churro. Churro.
Churro.
Churro.
Oh, you
churro.
Gotta roll your R.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I never got my free churro. So I'm very upset. So I'm going to go back and find this guy and give him a piece of my mind because he owes me a free Mexican pastry and I never got it. Gosh darn it. So he will be hearing from my lawyer.
Should have got his name down next time.
Seriously. I'll remember his face. I never forget somebody that deprives me of food. So
yeah, I'll have to go back to that same section.
Seriously,
wait for him to
right?
come by.
Exactly. Yeah. So what is next showtime?
Well, I'm actually going to another Warriors game. Next Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday, in 3 days.
Oh,
that'll
really?
That'll be against the Detroit Pistons.
Ooh, that'll be a fun game.
So they got
game.
Some good young players.
Now, you're rooting for the Pistons or the Warriors?
The Warriors.
Okay, but you do like the Pistons.
Yeah, Pistons are my second favorite NBA team.
Awesome. Very cool. I think we were talking about this at the game, actually. The sitcom show Home Improvement, starring Tim Allen. It's a 90s show, folks. It was
Drillbit Taylor.
Yeah, Tim Taylor. Seriously, Tim the Toolman Taylor. Mm-hmm. He was a huge fan of the Pistons on the show, and I think he is in real life. And so that was a theme that followed the show, was his love for the Pistons. So yeah, that's.
Yeah, what was that thing about season tickets?
Yeah, there was an episode where he bought season tickets from a friend to all the Pistons games, and his wife found out, and she was furious, and she made him sell them all, and he took the money out of his kids' college funds to buy the tickets, and his wife just hit the roof, and so there was a part where he had to invite all of his friends over to his house, and he had like a selling tickets party, and so he had to divide all the tickets up and sell them, and he was really upset. But what was really sweet in the show was that for, like, I think they were like playoff tickets or something like that, his wife actually purchased the tickets for him so that he could still feel happy. I mean, he couldn't keep all the tickets, but she did something nice for him, so that was sweet. That's marriage, folks.
Okay. How about this, just an interesting piece of news in the baseball world. Yankees general manager Brian Cashman breaks his leg skydiving. He broke his right leg and dislocated the ankle while skydiving in Florida. Cashman jumped with the U.S. Army Golden Knights in a plane from Homestead Air Reserve Base outside Miami. And that was a fundraiser for the Wounded Warrior Project. So he was doing it for good reason. He wasn't just being an idiot out there, you know, being stupid.
Wow.
Yeah, the Yankees said x-rays at Homestead Hospital revealed a broken fibula and dislocated ankle.
Woo. What's a fibula? Sounds like a fin, but I don't
think
he has fin.
It's a medical term. I don't know.
Do we have images? No.
No, I've never broken mine.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Doesn't sound like something you want to be broken. Fibula.
Cashman said, "While I certainly didn't intend to raise awareness in exactly this fashion, I'm extremely happy that the Wounded Warrior Project is getting the well-deserved additional attention." And that's true. I mean, I wouldn't have heard about it if,
right,
you know, he hadn't broken his leg, because then I clicked on the headline when I saw, oh, Yankees GM breaks leg.
That's true.
Now I know about the Wounded Warrior Project.
That's true. I mean, it does sort of remind me about GMA's Good Morning America's Robin Roberts, who unfortunately a while ago was diagnosed with bone cancer, and she had a bone marrow donor, and as unfortunate as it was that she got this horrible medical condition, she's fortunately now is recovering, and it brought so much attention to bone cancer and donating bone marrow. And there's even a foundation that started now called Swabbing for Robin, and that's when you get your, I think you can, you test your DNA just by a simple swab of the cheek, of the inside of your cheek. They just use like a little Q-tip, and then the doctors run tests on that, and they can tell if your marrow matches somebody else's. And if that's the case, you can donate your marrow and help save somebody's life. And it was really cool, because despite the fact that that happened to her, she is recovering, thank goodness. So she's now better. But it definitely brought attention to that situation. And so as of right now in America, we have more bone marrow donors than ever before because of that. So, I mean, it's a bit more serious than breaking your leg skydiving, but it's still kind of cool. It's kind of the same concept that, you know, something kind of horrible happening in a public situation can really bring attention to an event or something horrible that's going on, and can, you know, help stop it or cure it. So that's pretty cool. So, yeah. But skydiving, though, my goodness. I think you were saying that you do want to skydive, though, don't you?
I would be interested in trying that one day. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh,
I hear it's
gosh.
A great rush, you know, what you get.
I can imagine.
Thousands of feet, miles.
I don't think I could handle it. I couldn't even handle the little kiddie ride at Marine World. That was the little log ride that goes up and then it goes down. And I couldn't, even that was too much for me. I don't know if I have the nerves for it, but I would love to be put in a situation where I have to skydive, though. Like, there's this movie called Operation Dumbo Drop that came out in like the 90s, and it starred Ray Liotta and Danny Glover. And it was these people, they were in the Vietnam War, and they were trying to deliver this sacred elephant to this village in Vietnam. And they were forced to jump out of a plane because it was just part of their mission. And that would be kind of cool. I mean, I would never just jump out of a plane for the hay of it. But if I was sort of forced into it, you know, like I had to deliver a sacred elephant to someone, and, you know, and I was on some type of army mission and I was forced to jump out, it would actually be kind of fun. I would like something like that. But I don't think I could ever just make myself jump.
What's that movie called again?
Operation Dumbo Drop.
It was I've never heard of it, but I like both those actors, though. Ray Liotta and Danny Glover. Yeah.
It was great. It was a great film. And it was actually a pretty serious film. It was very, there were a lot of sad moments. It stars a young Vietnamese boy whose parents were killed during the war. And they were not soldiers in the war at all. They were just, I think, just victims of their village being destroyed or something like, or something to that effect. And this elephant saved this little boy because it happened when he was younger, and this elephant actually picked him up. Her name was Botat, and took him to safety. And this was actually based on a true story that happened back in the 60s. And so anyway, meanwhile, in a village, not meanwhile, it was a few years later, but there was an elephant that was killed in another village, and Danny Glover was about to retire from the military, and he wanted he was feeling guilty about Vietnam, about the war, and so he wanted to do one good thing in his career to make him feel like it was that he had done something good with his time in Vietnam. And so he decides that he's going to get this village a new elephant. And so Ray Liotta is this very hot-tempered soldier that doesn't have time to deal with elephants. He really wants to get in there and fight a war. And he and Danny Glover just complete opposites in terms of personality. But they go to try to get this elephant that is pretty much owned by this little boy. She's like his pet. And he won't let her out of his sight because that's like his only relative, and like his best friend is this elephant. And they try to take this elephant back to this other village where the little boy will have people that will take care of him, and also the elephant. And the elephant will be safe from poachers and things like that. And anyway, halfway into it, they promise this kid that they're going to take care of the elephant and take care of him. The head general guy decides to call off the mission, so they're not going to deliver the elephant after all. But Danny Glover is so loyal to this kid, and so Ray Liotta becomes, because at first he didn't like the kid, but he became very sensitive to the kid and the kid's situation. So they decide to break all rules and steal an army plane and strap this elephant down in parachutes, and they all wear their parachutes, and they decide that they're going to have to drop the elephant into this village. And so anyway, they do, and one of the like the belts or something that's on the parachute breaks on her little basket thing that she's in. And so Danny Glover jumps. No, it was Ray Liotta's character, and it was so sweet because he was always the tough guy, but you just saw some real humility come over him, and he jumped after the elephant and saved the elephant's life. And then Danny Glover carried the little boy all the way down, and they parachuted in, and they were like big heroes. And it was just a sweet story, and it was based on a true story. That's what was amazing about it. So go see it, folks. So
yeah, I definitely want to see that now.
Yeah.
If you didn't give too much away. No.
Oh, yeah. I did just tell you the whole story. My bad, folks.
I still want to see it, though.
Yeah. It's worth seeing.
Wow. So this isn't much of a segue, but the 49ers, speaking of Dumbo. No, I don't know. I just pulled this up on the computer. Josh Cribbs. He's a former Browns player. He's a free agent right now. I've always liked his game. I think he brings a lot to the table as a football player. He's 6'1", 215. He's a very fast wide receiver and kick returner. Very versatile player.
Wow.
Just one of those guys who can really get the momentum going in your team's direction. If he's on your team, and electrify the crowd. He had a great punt return, or a kick return, I think 2 years ago when he's on the Browns. Just went the whole length of the field, you know, broke a bunch of tackles, weaving in and out. Just one of those great runs.
Wow. It's awesome.
That they play a million times on SportsCenter that day. But the 49ers are interested in him.
Oh, very
nice. And if they got him, wow, that would be a great piece to add because, you know, they're not going to have Randy Moss next year. So they're going to lose a wide receiver there. They have Michael Crabtree, of course, and they have Mario Manningham coming off his torn ACL late last year. They'll have him healthy for this season, but that's just two receivers there. They also have A.J. Jenkins, who was a rookie last year, barely got any playing time. I think he was throwing the ball twice during the season, but he dropped both passes, so it didn't make him look good, even though he was their first pick. And I still think he's a good player, but everybody just hates him because he hasn't caught a pass yet. But that's such a small sample size to really judge his ability.
Just two passes.
Yeah, just 0 for 2. I mean, come on. But, you know, if they can add Josh Cribbs, you know, that's a special teams weapon.
It's an awesome name, too. Cribbs.
Yeah, Cribbs. They used to say when you get a touchdown, when you return one the distance, he took it to the crib.
Woo! You know,
took it to the house. But, yeah, he's an exciting player to watch. And he gets hurt sometimes, but when he's healthy, you know, he's a really good player. And he could help them on offense as well as special teams. So, oh, and another thing, it's good for the 49ers if they want to get Cribs, is he is familiar to the special teams coach of the Niners, Brad Seeley. He coached Cribs for 2 seasons in Cleveland. So, you know, he's got a connection there with the 49ers coaching staff and things like that. When you know a coach and you like him, you're familiar with working with him.
Right.
And that's a huge plus.
Right.
When you're trying to acquire a player.
Very cool. No, you've got to answer something for me. What is a special team? Because I've heard that term used before. And I mean, as horrible as this is, I thought they were referring to like the Special Olympics or something like that. But then I realized it's not. It has to do with the team, but I just had no idea what it is. So no. You've got to enlighten me here.
There's no special teams in the Paralympics. In football, there is your offensive unit, your defensive unit, and your special teams unit. And they have, you know, coaches for each of those.
Okay.
So, I mean, most of the time there's an offense and a defense on the field.
Right.
Right. But when there's a field goal being kicked, anytime kicking is involved, that's special teams.
Oh.
So a punt, a kick. Yeah.
punt or a kick.
You know, a team has 4 downs to get a first down, right? An offense.
Okay.
So if they don't get it on the first 3 downs, usually on 4th down, they kick the ball. And then they bring out the special teams unit.
Okay.
And then the special teams return unit is the team receiving the ball. And Josh Cribbs is a kick returner. He can return kicks. Or he does it very well. Returns kicks and punts. And that's huge because that gives you a good field position.
Oh, okay.
If he receives a kick, he's really good at running it back.
All right.
So
very nice.
A team like the 49ers with good defense, you know, their formula, their philosophy for winning has been good defense and good special teams. So they hold the other team with their defense. They don't let them score. But part of that is their special team sets them up well. They have one of the best punters in Andy Lee. He kicks the ball deep into the opponent's territory. Their special team's coverage gets down there, prevents a good return from the other team. So it sets their defense up with a good field position to work with.
Right.
They try to pin the other team at their own, you know, 20-yard line or less. So,
okay, I see.
You know, special teams, it's kind of the most overlooked unit in football. You know, people look at offense and defense. Those are where the stars are.
Right.
You know, punters and kickers, you know, nobody wants to be one of those. But
they're
important,
and
the kick returners usually also are on offense or defense. Usually a kick returner, like, they're the fastest guy on the team. They might also play defensive back.
Okay.
Or wide receiver, running back even.
All right, I got you.
Yeah.
All right.
So Cribbs, you know, he's a great receiver and kick returner, so he'd be a huge weapon to acquire for the Niners.
Very nice.
And that looks like, I think we've been on the air for an hour now.
Have we?
Yeah, we got in here about 20 after 4. It's 20 after 5.
Oh, okay,
I mean, sorry. For about 2 hours.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say.
Got in here 20 after 3.
We have
3,
another hour to go.
That's 20
yeah.
after 5, my bad.
I was like,
trying to think of my friend in the Central Times.
Mountain.
I don't know.
Mountain
oh,
Time.
Mountain. That's 1 hour. Yeah. All right, I better go before I make any more mistakes here. This is All Sorts of Sports. I'd like to thank my co-host today, DJ Aquarius.
Awesome. Thank you for
having
me on.
Yeah. Come on anytime.
For sure.
If you are listening, you can call in anytime Our number is 415-482-3587. So call in next week, talk some sports or anything else, but
music,
you know, come
movies.
On with at least one sports thing, sports topic to bring up.
Awesome.
This is a sports show.
For sure.
You know, we talk about movies, elephants, but it's all good here. So, I don't know, will we have a show next week? It's St. Patrick's Day. I'm on spring break right now. We are on spring break.
Yes, we are. We got to mingle with
next
leprechauns.
Next Sunday
folks.
Will be the last day of spring break, so will we want to spend it here? We'll have to see.
Right. You guys
hey,
have
check,
to find out.
Check up on the All Sorts of Sports Facebook page, facebook.com/allsortsofsports. We will let you know what the status for the show next week will be.
Awesome.
But that's all for today.
Wear green so you don't get pinched.
Yes. That's important.
Yes, it is. I've been pinched. It's not fun.
If we don't see you, have a good St. Patrick's Day.
Woo.
And until next time, this is Showtime saying, keep it classic.